Well, welcome to the path forward. I was going to do this show as a situation report, but I decided against it for a couple of reasons. The first one is there's tons of people doing analysis of what happened yesterday in Iran. There's tons of people that are talking about the consequences of it. So I thought I would use this opportunity to talk about what should you be doing to prepare for what's coming. Now, the easy part of the attack is over. Now, how we did it, what we did it with, doesn't really matter. The fact is, we've admitted to attacking Iran. We've admitted to dropping bombs on whatever sites we drop bombs on. And now we have to deal with the consequences. But what we're about to find out is if those terror cells that Sarah Adams has been talking about are real, if those distributed Al-Qaeda cells are real, and if Iran has an asymmetric capability within the United States, or if Iran is going to do what they've done before, which is nothing, and play it calm and cool. That's really going to be what's ahead. And there's two possible scenarios that can come out of this. The first one is that Iran could do nothing, or second one is Iran could retaliate. Now, Iran can retaliate in several ways. And one of those ways is they can retaliate with asymmetric warfare, they can retaliate with cyber warfare, and they can retaliate with a mix of both. And my thought process is it's going to be a mix of both. And I think that China and Russia will use it as an opportunity as well to do asymmetric attacks, not just here, but abroad. And for the average American, that doesn't mean a whole lot. But I want to talk through what's transpired up to this point. So in March, there were several attacks against the logistics verticals across most of Western Europe and the United States. And when I say logistics, I mean warehouses, distribution centers, and major hubs for distributing food and retail goods, as well as energy, were attacked both with ransomware and with malware. It's part of the reason I've been talking about cyber attacks for so long is because I've seen an uptick of those in the last several months. And on June 5th, United Foods was hit, and United Foods distributes food to 3,000 locations in this country alone. And they distribute to supply most of the restaurants, most of the grocery stores, and most of the small catering companies around the country, as well as golf clubs, golf clubs and any kind of social club. That's where your food comes from. They went down on June 5th. They didn't come back till the 13th. Now that could be ransomware. That may not be ransomware. It could be malware. It could be a variety of things. Could have been a nation state. It could have been criminal actors. The point is, the way I see this developing, if there's going to be retaliation, and that's a big if right now, is number one, I think they're going to lead with cyber. They're going to take down key communication, power infrastructure, water infrastructure, as well as several other pieces of infrastructure. I think they're going to combine that with simultaneous attacks on the Middle Eastern bases because they're easier targets. And then I think a third thing they're going to do is disrupt long-haul communications and potentially go after Starlink. Now, what do you do on your end? Well, there's several things you can do. Number one, have alternative comms. That doesn't have to be radio. That can be satellite. You can use Garmin has iChat. There's the Bivy Sticks, which allows you to text via satellite. And Bivy Sticks are, I think, $199, $299, and they are text only for your phone, but it's text across satellite. You have Garmin, which is iConnect. Garmin iConnect has, several formats. It's got GPS with iChat. It's got just iChat only. There's several formats. They range from $199 all the way up to $599, and when you're talking about iConnect, there's several things that you could look at or several options you could look at. Let me grab one real quick. Now, this is one of the Garmin products called the Garmin Montana. It's the i700. It's a couple of revs back. But what it allows you to do is it's called a feature called InReach. And InReach gives you the ability to do messaging. Let's see if I can set up a new message here. So it gives you the ability to send a message just like an email. And it's very straightforward. It also gives you, this one also gives you GPS. It gives you access to satellites, et cetera, for communications, not just with this, but with paired devices. Got a port or an antenna, so you could plug in an auxiliary antenna into your device. It's got a vehicle mounting. There's lots of things you could use it for, right? I use it in my vehicle mainly for navigation, because when you get outside of a, you know, especially when you get outside of Las Vegas and you're going north or you're going anywhere east from Las Vegas, there's nothing out there, right? So your cell phone lasts about an hour and a half, and then you're pretty much dead in the water, dead reckoning from that point, or you're back to a paper map. So I use the Garmin i700, and I use a external antenna on my vehicle, and that helps me navigate through parts of Nevada. And it tells me exactly where I'm at too, which is great. So it's accurate within a couple of meters. It's very, very accurate. So that's an option, is satellite, right? And for those of you who don't have the ability for satellite, then another option is Starlink Mobile, right? Starlink Mobile is $50 a month, and I think it's a $400 setup fee, basically, to send you the rig, and it gives you 50 gigabits a month. As long as you're not streaming, you should be good to go. And you'll have at least internet comps, right? Voice over IP. I don't know how well that works across satellite, but you'll have voice over IP, et cetera. So there's, hang on a second. That noise. Sorry about that. Got two fans running in here because it's hotter than Satan's taint outside. The point is that you have multiple options for that. You can do the home base system and go to Starlink. I'm in a line of sight position where I have just okay line of sight with the satellite. And if you read my Substack blog yesterday, I was talking about the situation that I had on Thursday and Friday. So what I surmised happened was CenturyLink, which is the only service provider I have here. What I surmised happened with CenturyLink was that CenturyLink changed certificates. So every 12 months, VeriSign offers certificates that authenticate DNS and, you know, domain name services, et cetera. So when you type in a URL, it goes out to DNS and it translates that to an IP address so it can go hit that web server and serve up the content. There's a certificate that you sign through VeriSign that helps authenticate those DNS servers, right? Because it's not a secure connection. But you rely on a cert to say this is a valid certificate, et cetera. So what I surmised happened is that CenturyLink changed their certs and didn't bother to update any of their endpoints, and it took down three states. And that happens, you know, on a fairly regular basis, it happens. So the point is that for 6 hours on Thursday, 6 hours on Friday, I was completely blacked out, right? So all I had was the Garmin, and I was able to send, you know, satellite text messages. But it's the thing with the Garmin is this thing only communicates with people that are on InReach. So if you're not on InReach chat, guess what? You're not talking to them. So the way I have this set up is I have this set up with my kids and a few members of my family, key members of my family, and a few of my friends. And I have it set up so that I can communicate with them wherever I'm at in the world. And I always have comms. That's a fallback. Always have comms. And they have the exact same setup I do. They have the exact same number of, you know, extra batteries, et cetera, right? And charging options, all those things, right? So I was able to communicate via that, and I was able to communicate via the cell network. But the cell network, depending on where you're at, is not always reliable. Where I'm at, the cell network's not reliable. So for me, the option was, two bars on my cell, and every, 10 minutes I can render a website, or go out, range out from away from my house and go figure out where the best signal is, and then sit there remotely and do as much as I could. There's very limited options, right? But the point is, you get creative. The way I see this developing is, if they take down the cell networks and they take down internet nodes, and look, I know a lot of people are hung up on Kinetic, and I know a lot of people think that I'm crazy for talking about cyber, but the reason why I'm talking about it is, one node in the FAA took down the entire air traffic control system for the better part of a day. They don't have to blow things up to disrupt our operations. They don't have to, destroy our infrastructure. What they want is, they want to disrupt our operations, they want to disrupt our economy, and they want to disrupt our ability to respond. They don't want to destroy the infrastructure, especially China. China wants to own the infrastructure. So it makes a lot of sense for them to disrupt our operations and drive our economy into the ground. So that's why I'm talking about cyber. It's the most cost-effective attack surface that you can have in this landscape without having to expend any forces, launch any missiles, or deal with blowback and retaliation in such a mass sense that you have to worry about rebuilding. It's the cheapest form of attack. That's why they're going to choose that. And if you look at the way hackers have worked for the last 35 years, they always want to social engineer their way into an attack versus trying to brute force or break in. It's easier. If you can get people to give up the keys to the kingdom, then you don't have to spend the time and the energy to go break through all the defense depth, which I, by the way, I hate that term. You don't have to break through all their defenses to get to the golden nugget. Somebody just hands you the keys to the kingdom, give you an admin password and a login, and guess what? You're off to the races. You just log right in and do whatever you want to do. That's what the enemy wants to do. They want to come in through an open door and disrupt all of our operations. The problem with a terror attack is that terror attacks lend themselves to retaliation. And while we're on the topic, if a terror attack happens here, I'll tell you who I'm going to blame. I'm going to blame the Central Intelligence Agency, Mossad, and MI6, because MI6 is the one that created all of the Al-Qaeda operatives throughout the Middle East. They're the ones that have created most of the terror attacks for the last 100 years. They're the ones that created all of the terror cells in Afghanistan that we had to deal with in conjunction with the CIA. The Mujahideen, let's go back to 1980. When the Russians invaded Afghanistan, we created the Mujahideen. There was a small amount of indigenous fighters that were there that were fighting against the Russians. And that small cell of terrorists became the Mujahideen through with the CIA's help. If you go watch the movie with Tom Hanks called Charlie's War, that outlines exactly how the situation developed. And I will go as far as saying that Osama bin Laden was a creation of the CIA, and he was a CIA asset. And he was useful until he wasn't. And let's go back to 1979, when we liberated the hostages from Iran and they deposed the Shah of Iran. We liberated 79 is when we liberated, and then 1981 or 82 is when we started, when Oliver North started Iran-Contra. My point of this is, all of these situations have been architected by the intelligence agencies so that there's a boogeyman. And the boogeyman is what we have to fight against. Iran has been the boogeyman since 1978. And since that time, we have done nothing but talk about Iran and nukes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all of this is a construct of the intelligence agencies. Remember, Mossad said, we create the illusion, propagate the illusion, sell the illusion, and then execute on the illusion. So I take them at their word, because trust me, I've worked with all the agencies, and I can tell you that they create a lot of things, and they don't have any moral compass, and they don't care about you or I. And here's the other thing too. Most of the people that operate in the field, those people don't have any family. They don't have anybody to fall back on. They're expendable. So they don't care about the average person. And that's by design. They're sociopaths and psychopaths. So do you honestly think that anybody that's in the field that's perpetrating these things gives a shit about the average American? They don't. But that said, all of these constructs that have been created, just like I think a lot of this terror cell and Al-Qaeda presence here in the US, the construct of the CIA. And Sarah Adams' only job is to go out there and say, yeah, you can blame somebody, but don't blame us, even though we're the ones that funded them through Qatar. We're the ones that funded them when they were in Afghanistan. We're the ones that have been paying the Taliban in Afghanistan for the past, 5 years. Don't blame us. All done through USA. So when you look at the history of this, you can see how this has been the boogeyman in the room. And then Mike Benz had a very good point, and I was going to cover it a year ago, but I figured, let's see how things develop. But his point is that if you watch the movie Maverick, Top Gun Maverick, it literally, this is the scenario it outlines. 19 minutes into the movie, they talk about how one of our allies in the region is threatened by this nuclear base. Does that sound a lot like Israel? How would they know way back? And I think that movie was shot in 2018. So way back in 2018, they already had plans to do this. And the point is that strategically, the table's been set here for this, right? And I'm not going to get into the conjecture of what Trump's thought process was, or why Trump was doing this, or why Trump thinks it's a good idea, or why it, that, or if he was backed into corner. I don't care. What I care about is, what do you do as the average citizen? And here's what I'm telling you to do. The first one is alternative comms. If you can do satellite and you can afford it, it's pricey, but if you can do it, have satellite comms as a backup. Number two, should have extra food and water. Between me, Troop, and the rest of the guys in the round table, we've all been literally beating the drum on that for months and months and months. Third thing is, have broad spectrum antibiotics. If you have to operate in a field environment, you should have some broad spectrum antibiotics just in case, right? Amoxicillin is probably the best one. You can buy it through any veterinarian supply or in any, usually you can buy it through any feed store. Ivermectin is another one you should have on hand. If you can do benbendazole, that's another one to have on hand. Those are the three that I would have on hand. Actually, it's the three that I have on hand. And then lastly, everybody asked me about ammo. So I've almost got the show edited. I did a show on firearms from the average Joe perspective, things to consider, things to have in your rifle for the environment that you're going to be in. And I talk a little bit about ammo and how, different types of ammo you should have on hand, et cetera. So, but here's what I'll say about firearms. You should have a firearm for home defense, but you're not going to be kicking doors. This concept that you're going to be kicking doors when the world explodes, blah, blah, blah. That's not how this is going to go down. This is going to go down if there is an attack, which I'm not convinced there's going to be. But if there's a cyber attack that disrupts things, where the violence will come in and where you need defensive capability is when the food runs out in the grocery store and there's shortages. When people are desperate, that's when they start to get violent and they will do whatever they need to do to feed their kids and feed themselves. That's where you need defensive capability. You don't need this, 50 caliber long haul, 8,000 yard sniper rifle, because guess what? Number one, the shit's expensive. Number two, it's really fucking heavy. And number three, you're not trained to go out and shoot that distance anyway. Most people will have an AR-15, probably with a red dot sight, which is a one MOA, which means there's no magnification to it, probably a grip on it, probably four or five magazines, and maybe 400 or 500 rounds of ammo. And here's what I want you to do. Go put all that shit in a bag with food and with water, a spare change of clothes, a couple of pairs of underwear, a toothbrush, maybe an emergency shelter, and a compass, and then some maps. And go tell me how heavy that shit is. Because if you're going to be on your feet, let's just say for all intents and purposes, there's an EMP. That EMP takes out your car and all your high-speed electronics. So all you have is a compass and what's on your back to get back home. The whole point of the exercise, right? Defensive capability, stay out of the conflict zone, and then reconstitute with people you trust and know, and then figure out what capabilities you have as a group. That's how this should go. This concept that, well, I'm going to just kick doors and take what I want. Sorry, this is how that goes. You're going to kick doors on somebody. They're going to have a 12 gauge. They're going to blast your ass back out the door, and they're going to take all the shit that's left in your backpack and leave your dead body in the yard. So keep that in mind. Urban warfare, everybody thinks it's easy. It's really fucking hard. Because when you attack in a building, you assault a building, you assault from the roof and from the floor. And you bring a lot of guys because as guys go through different doors, they open a door, they get a bullet to the face. You got to take them out of the way and then throw a grenade in the room. And then once you go in the room, you got to go in and clear if there's other rooms attached to that. And then somebody else takes a bullet in the face. So by the time you get down to the bottom, you start with 50 guys, you end up with 30. That's how that goes. So it's not this high speed Call of Duty, I'm going to kick doors and everything's going to be badass. No, it doesn't work that way. And which brings me to the point of how much of that do you need? You at least need a couple hundred rounds of ammo. And I would say most battle packs are about 200 rounds of ammo, depending on the type of round it is. And I would have a couple of battle packs. They are sealed. They're basically sealed ammo cans, but they're bags, and you can carry the bag and you can throw the bag in your backpack if you want to. There's lots of use, but I would carry at least that. I would have at least that, at least 200 rounds. And your whole point is defensive capability, not offensive capability. Because it could be just you. And if it's just you, your whole point is just to get back to a safe area, reconstitute with people you know, and then figure out what your next move is. And that's assuming that the cyber attacks disrupt all of the infrastructure, all of the communications, all of the logistics, and we see shortages in the stores. That's literally what I'm expecting. But I'm not expecting it to last a long time, but there'll still be casualties. Now, for the off chance that there is cyber attacks that are followed by kinetic attacks, what's the scenarios? Well, the first scenario is that these terror cells are going to go after rural areas because they're primarily conservative, and they're going to go after churches, and they're going to go after malls, and they're going to go after grocery stores and go after people that are disarmed and trying to, live their, gathering in large groups is what it is. Let's assume that happens. If that happens, then you're going to have to band together as neighbors and figure out who the bad guys are and put them down. Right. But there's going to be a lot of casualties before that happens. It's going to be very chaotic and disorienting. And that's why you should travel with a firearm, especially if comms go down and if infrastructure goes down, you should be carrying all the time, bar none. And if you can travel in numbers, travel in numbers. The biggest piece around this, and let me get to the second scenario before I go to that. The second scenario is they don't take down infrastructure. They don't take down comms. They disrupt comms with the denial of service attack. And then they couple that with distributed attacks in large cities and rural areas and create the maximum amount of chaos. Same scenario, same kind of a scenario, but same reaction, right? Stay out of the conflict space. Travel armed, try and travel in groups, et cetera. Strengthen numbers, identify the bad guys, eliminate the bad guys, same thing. The key point in all this is situational awareness, right? Having situational awareness. Know who's supposed to be there, who's not supposed to be there, how many of them there are, and what nationality they are. Because we could be dealing with cartels, we could be dealing with terror cells that are mainly Arab. We could be dealing with a mix. We could be dealing with, several different disparate groups operating independently with separate targets and separate targeting rules. We don't know, right? But we're about to find out if that asymmetric capability is actually here and actually exists. And maybe they're going to hold off. I don't know what they would hold off for. And the last piece is, remember, we have PLA here too. What do the Chinese want to do? Disrupt our infrastructure and disrupt our city and install people that are friendly to the CCP. So we already know we have communists in most of the major blue cities. So we have to be mindful of that too. What are they going to do, right? Because it's not just our reaction that we have to be mindful of. It's what's the reaction of the government going to be? Because I still contend that they need a reason to declare martial law. They need a reason to implement the control grid. And it would not be very far past the intelligence agencies to architect a situation where there was just enough casualties to create enough fear and justification to implement martial law and this social scoring system, which they've already been working toward. That's what One Idea is about. That's what Palantir is about. And then the next piece of that is, it's why there's gates in all the grocery stores now. That's why there's gates in all the airports. They want to lock us down and disarm us, just like they've done in Israel, just like they've done in Europe. They want the same thing here. They need a mechanism to do that. So a cyber attack with kinetic would be the perfect way to scare the public into accepting those controls. You should be skeptical of everything you see right now. In fact, I don't know how much of the narrative around the Iranian attack that I buy. First of all, the B2 is probably one of the most closely guarded secrets we have as a country. They won't even fly that aircraft. They wouldn't even fly that aircraft into Iraq during the war. They would fly it over Iraq from Guam, land in Diego Garcia, or they would fly it back to Guam, but they would not land that aircraft in Iraq. And if they land that aircraft in the UK or in Europe, it's highly guarded. They basically send an entire brigade to protect those airplanes. So I don't buy the story that we dropped these bunker busters. And secondly, I think the only thing that was in those sites was the Epstein tapes that the Iranians stole from the Israelis, and the Israelis wanted those tapes destroyed because it implicated them in the Epstein scandal, as well as the other human trafficking, and also it implicated them in 9/11. And I think that's why they wanted it destroyed, because all their compromised assets would be compromised to China or to Iran, which they can't have. At least that's the narrative that I'm going with, because most of it's BS anyway. I think a lot of what we're seeing right now is fiction. And it brings me back to the same point that all the Q-tards have been talking about, is that, trust the plan. It's 3D chess, blah, 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 4D chess, whatever their bullshit narrative is. Here's the bottom line. If there's some big chess game going on at the oligarch level and somehow the US comes out on top, my answer is still going to be the same. That's great. Now go fuck yourselves. Because how many people are dying? How many kids are being injected with the shot every single day? 25,000. How many people are dying from the shot? How many people have died from the shot since 2021? How many numbers have been obfuscated by the federal government since 2021 and other governments that the world doesn't know about? How many kids under the age of 25 have myocarditis and other issues? So I don't give two shits about the reason behind the obfuscation. What I want to see is people arrested that committed treason. I don't care about the rest of it. I don't care if Trump has to go and stand on his head on the moon and use alien technology to get rid of all the pedophiles in Europe. I don't care. I want to see someone arrested. And that's what most Americans want to see. And I don't care about the Epstein tapes. I think anybody that's in the Epstein tapes that's raping a kid should be knelt down and shot in the back of the head. No trial, nothing. If you're on tape having sex with a child, especially a child under 10, guess what? Boom, you're done. Trial over. That's the way it should go. So I'm looking at all this with very suspect eyes. And I'm looking at Trump's rhetoric and his actions with suspect eyes, because there's no end state there that Iran will accept. They're not going to do regime change. They're not going to capitulate. The Khomeini's not going to step down. There's not going to be a transition from the military leadership to civilian leadership. Their system is not structured or designed that way to accommodate that. So there's no endpoint there that's going to end with that. Plus, you have Netanyahu, who has started wars for the last 35 years. He's either started wars, precipitated wars, or he's instigated actions that would start wars in the region. So I'm not about to think that at any point between now and whenever the endpoint is of this, that Iran's going to capitulate, nor should they. This is a fight between oligarchs in the city of London and oligarchs here. There's nothing we can do about it. All you can do is be prepared for the contingencies that are coming and be ready to respond and defend yourself. That's all you can do. You can't influence the politics. You can't influence any of the rhetoric. You can't influence any of the foreign policy. All you can do is hunker down and be ready for what comes next. And that's the point of this show. So let's see how things develop over the next 72 hours, and then let's respond accordingly. But get out of the emotional space of who did what and why and what bullshit that they dropped or what bullshit they didn't drop or why they couldn't have done this or why they couldn't have hit that. Doesn't matter. None of that shit matters. It's all just noise. And all the talking heads that are out there talking about, you know, how we should have attacked or what we could have, doesn't matter. The only thing that matters, the only signal in all of this is, are you prepared for disruptions and shortages? And if you're not, go to the store, get extra toilet paper, not buy the store out of toilet paper, have extra on hand for a couple of weeks, have food, water, ammunition, and medicine, and be ready for any contingency, and have alternative communication plans with your family. That's the key to this exercise. Everything else is noise. And the last thing I'll say is stay out of the emotional space. Don't get wrapped up in the emotions of this. The whole point of this exercise is to keep you emotionally hijacked so they can manipulate you. If you stay out of the emotional space and you stay focused on the things that matter, which is what are you doing to defend yourself, feed yourself, and keep yourself hydrated, the rest of it won't matter. But if you get into the who, what, where, when, why of all this and the drama, I guarantee you, they're going to take your eye line off of what's important. And here's the last thing that I'll say. Watch what's happening with this big, beautiful turd that they're trying to push through Congress. That thing restricts states' ability to regulate AI. It sells off public land. Basically, they're going to sell off the resources in our country to a bunch of strip miners like Dick Cheney did back in, remember when he had the energy conference back in 2002? He had the energy conference that was closed doors with Enron and all the others. And what came out of that? The Enron scandal, where they were basically causing brownouts in California. The Enron scandal in other states, where they were basically restricting the supply of electricity during the heat of the summer. All of this coincides with what's the hottest time of the year. That's why I think cyber is the easiest attack surface for them to use and blame on somebody else. But if anything happens here, I blame MI6, Mossad, and the CIA. Keep that in mind. Till then, probably Wednesday of this week is when I'll release the show. I still got some editing to do, but I'll do the gun show as soon as I can and get that out. Till then, God bless. One team, one fight.